Well, welcome everybody. This morning we're going to continue our study into the discovering Jesus through the Gospel of John. And we are up today to chapter 6. Keith always likes to know what chapter we're going to be on because he studies in advance and then he finds out that I talk about it maybe a little. But anyway, today we're going to talk about it in great detail. Chapter 6 is loaded. It's a fabulous chapter in the Bible, John chapter 6. I want to put this verse up, these two verses up, before we, well, let me give you the sermon title today. Let me give you the sermon title. It's called The Bread of Life, The Bread of Life. And then I want to start with these two verses because John 20, and truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Now, he's not talking about the Holy Bible in totality. He's talking about the book he wrote, the book of John. He's saying that Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in his gospel, the Gospel of John. Everybody tracking? John the Apostle wrote the Gospel of John, and he's saying that he didn't put everything, he didn't write all the signs that he saw down. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Isn't that beautiful? So why did he write it, and why did he tell us the things he told us? But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The first five chapters of John's gospel are completely unique to John. Coco, you won't find them in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. I'm going to really pick on y'all. We're small today, so. And I'm noticing we were all up. Were we the only ones up late, or everybody else up late last night? Huh? Okay, I'll be compassionate. But the first five chapters of John's gospel are unique to him. None of the other gospel writers tell you about Jesus turning the water into wine, except John. How many of you are glad that John told you that story? Especially wine drinkers. Are wine drinkers glad?
Yes.
Nobody else told you that Jesus healed the nobleman's son except John. Remember that? Well, let me back up. Let's do some review here. We're discovering Jesus through the Gospel of John. Nobody else tells you the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. Now think about that for a minute, Jerry. Think about the fact that nobody else told us about the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. If we didn't know about that, we wouldn't have the golden text of the Bible, which would be John 3:16. You want to really impress some of your friends, you let them know sometimes, say, I know what the golden text of the Bible is. Okay? You're probably wanting to go back over there and sit right now, aren't you? All right. Do you know that? If we didn't have that conversation, we wouldn't have this verse. So do you understand why John did what he did? See, John's gospel was the last gospel written. It's the oldest gospel. One of the primary reasons he wrote it was there was already a philosophy afoot that said that Jesus wasn't God. So John wanted to dispel that, and that's why you have John chapter 1 that says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? And so that was his primary purpose, but he wrote these things because he wanted to make sure that we didn't leave this stuff out, because Matthew, Mark, and Luke didn't tell us this, but John did, that Jesus told Nicodemus. What did he tell him? For God so loved the world. Let's say it all together. Come on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many of you are glad that John recorded this conversation with Nicodemus? Same chapter, he tells you that you must be born again. If John didn't write his gospel, we wouldn't know a thing in the world about the conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well of Samaria. Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't tell us that a woman encountered him at the well of Samaria, and Jesus asked for a drink. And oh, what a great conversation he had with her, because she wanted to talk about religion and he wanted to tell her that in her presence was actually the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's where we get that famous text, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Also in John chapter 4, John records that Jesus heals the nobleman's son. He's at the point of death. He asked Jesus to come and heal him, and Jesus said, go your way, your son lives. He believes what Jesus said, and the child's made whole. John chapter 5, John's the only one that records the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda. Remember that from last week? That was only last week. Keith, you still got that remembered, right? John's the only one that recorded that. And so from that, we understand that healing is God's will. That not only is Jesus the Savior, but Jesus is also the healer. And we didn't finish out chapter 5, but you'll also find out that this is where Jesus, we get introduced to the persecution that Jesus encounters from religious people. And this is the first mention in the scriptures that they want to kill him. Imagine that. Does that let you know a lot of stuff about our world system? That the world system wants to kill the creator of the world. And so they start persecuting him. And there, John chapter 5, the Pharisees, their big hero was Moses. They kept telling their people, don't listen to that fella. They kept telling their people. They said, don't listen to that fella. Listen to Moses. We know God talked to Moses, but we don't know that God talked to this fella. And in John chapter 5, Jesus said, if you knew me and you knew my Father, you would know that Moses wrote about me. He said that in the scriptures, you think that you'll find eternal life, and those scriptures testify of me. Who has believed our report? Isaiah 53, complete picture of the crucifixion and suffering of the Lord. Psalm 22. So then, we get to chapter 6. And for the very first time in John's gospel, in chapter 6, he tells a story that both that Matthew, Mark, and Luke also told. He tells the story of feeding, we call it the 5,000, with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's what we call it. Okay, but we understand that Matthew tells you that all they counted in the day, and ladies, don't get offended. How many know we love you? And God loves you. And God loves you better. Christian people, women should want a Christian man more than any other person. If you're living for Jesus, we'll treat you correctly. Amen. So anyway, John, it's called the feeding of the 5,000, but they only counted men in those days. So if there's 5,000 men in a meeting, what do you have to assume, Linda? There's got to be some women hanging around, right? Now, if it was 5,000 women, there'd be no doubt there'd be 5,000 men there, right? Huh? Like bees to honey. Amen? So anyway, they call it the feeding of the 5,000, but in reality, let's just assume that at least 3,000 of the men were married. That's another 3,000 women. And let's assume, now that, what's another thing that happens when a man and a woman get together? First comes love, and then comes marriage, and then comes Mark with the baby carriage. So anyway, I'm going to tell you all that. So probably, I don't think you would be erroneous if you said he probably fed 15,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, okay? Now, one of the reasons why God had 4 people write the story of Jesus is because it's just a fact of life that if you observe something, everybody's going to see something that somebody else didn't see. Am I correct? And I think I used this illustration. I mean, we could be here in church and we could see something, we won't do anything terrible. We could see somebody have a fender bender out here. Just a fender bender. Just make their insurance go up. Nothing fatal or anything, just something like that. And I guarantee you that if me and Coco saw that fender bender, we would see something different. Each one of us would see something different. It might have been a white truck and a green truck, and it might have been a female and a male, and your attention might be on the green truck, and my attention might be on the white truck, and if I was a single man, my attention might be on the female. Just for illustration purposes. You with me? So that's one of the reasons why the Lord had these stories told by more than one person. So John, for the very first time in his gospel, John tells a story that both Matthew, Mark, and Luke told. But he has a little different angle on it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell the story of the feeding of the 5,000, and you'll find out that what had happened was Jesus had sent the apostles and the 70 out two by two to prepare the people for his message and for them to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils. And so what Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell you is they've come back from that and they've been ministering and they're tired. I have a hard time saying that from the South. They're tired. They're tired and wore out. Well, how you feel? I'm just tired and wore out. Anyway, they come back tired and wore out. And so Jesus says, what we need to do is let's go away for a little while and rest. Well, Jesus was a rock star. And listen, this is going to tie into what we're going to talk about. Jesus was healing people and helping people and loving people. And so people wanted to be around him. And so word got out that they were in this area. And so the multitude comes to hear what he has to say. And Jesus doesn't say, now listen, I've been up all night at a football game. And thank God the right team won. But I'm tired. Y'all go home. I'll see you in the morning. Is that what he said? No. He ministers to them anyway. And so it actually turns into a 2 or 3 day meeting. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? If you ask people to come to church and tell them you might be here for the afternoon, especially on Sunday during the NFL season, dun 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 da. Y'all do know my Fort Huachuca story when I came here as a soldier, and I was looking for a place to go to church, and I was, you know, I have an evangelical charismatic background, and I heard there was an evangelical charismatic. In fact, this will just show you how small a town it is. The gentleman that's running for mayor, Cleo McCon, his mother and dad were actually running that church on Fort Huachuca at Keno Chapel. Wonderful people, wonderful spirit-filled people. And I think he was still active duty. And their church service, it bothered me to start out with because their church service, I think, started like at 11:30. And so, but I figured, you know, football starts about 1, I'll be all right. So me and another soldier, me and a Baptist brother that I converted to evangelical charismatic for a little bit, we said we'll go over there, and you know church started at 11:30, and at 3 o'clock they hadn't even finished doing all the singing they were going to do, and I looked at my, I'll never forget, long truth, Jordan, I'm telling Jordan this, I didn't make this up for a minute. There was a guy sitting beside of me, and I swear me and this boy was sitting there with him, and I looked at him, and I said, don't y'all watch football? I did. And, of course, back in the day, you know, it was, well, don't you love God more than you love football? I lied to him, said yes. This turned into a 3 or 4 day meeting. And so, listen, y'all understand what we're doing here. The Lord's just using this opportunity for me to share what I've learned in the scriptures, and I've had a ball doing this. So it turns into a 3 or 4 day meeting, and the Matthew, Mark, and Luke record that they come to Jesus and say, look, you got to send these guys away. They're hungry. You know, they're probably ready for a bath. Send them out of here. And he said, we can't take care of them. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And they said, what are you talking about? Give them something to eat. There's 15,000 of them. We can't feed those people. Now, that's how they tell it. John tells it like this. See, and this is, and again, it's not a discrepancy in Scripture. It's just that people tell things the way they remember them. And John tells it like this. Jesus sees all the people coming, and he asks Philip, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I mean, here, what are we going to do? And John tells you that Jesus already knew what he was going to do. And he was just seeing if Philip would go along with what he already knew. And, of course, you know, the the apostles weren't at that place yet. And so they said, I don't know what we're going to do. And he said, find out how many fish you have. Find out how much food's there. See, Jesus, God uses what you have. You figured that out? Use what you have before you ask God for something else. I give you this stuff for free. So he says, find out how much food you have. And one of them comes back, and I think it's Andrew. And he says, there's a lad here that's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, don't you know that that lad probably wasn't expecting to share his food with that group? How many of you know the one thing that'll get a man mad? Asking for some of his food, right? But anyway, they find out they got 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he says, okay, make them sit down. One of the writers, I'm not exactly positive who, one of the writers has them sit down in groups of 50 and 100. And he begins to pass the fish and the bread out, and they feed all the multitude, probably at least 15,000 people, and then they take up 12 baskets of leftovers. And we're all concerned because the stock market's not been doing good lately. Can I get an amen? We're all concerned because of the rotten political environment we're living in right now. Which, now, don't misunderstand that. You should be concerned enough that you do something about it on November the 8th. Can I get an amen? You need to pay attention. You need to listen. And don't just talk about national stuff. Don't just talk about statewide stuff. Look around your city and find out who's running for these school board positions, and find out on that school board position who still believes in the God of heaven and who still believes in telling people the right things. I've got to do a little research on it. I know a couple of the people. I know on the signs of a couple of people. I know them personally. So anyway, y'all listening to me? So 15,000 people were accommodated with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then John is the only one that tells you this. After this happens, the people perceive this could be the one we've been waiting on. This could be the Messiah. See, this is the guy Moses was talking about. This could be the prophet. And John says they wanted to come and make him king. And Jesus said, whoa, buddy, hold on now. Can't be a king. I am a king. Remember Pontius Pilate asked him, are you a king? One of my great, always moves me. Pontius Pilate asked him, are you a king? He was a king, but he couldn't establish his kingdom until he died. He came to die. He came to be the sin bearer for the whole world. And so he had to put an end to that. He told the apostles, he says, you guys get in your boat and go over to the other side, and I'll deal with the people. And he dealt with the people, and then he went up and prayed by himself. You know, sometimes the best thing in the world you can do is get by yourself. Did you know in Sierra Vista and where we live now, it ought to be fun to go outside and be by yourself. Man, is there anything better than September and October and November in Cochise County? But I think it may be that way nationwide. I saw the Kentucky football game yesterday, and it was pretty there too. So anyway, he goes up. He tells those folks, oh, no, we're going to get into this. We're going to get into this because, remember, they're all excited. They've been on a 3-day meeting with him. They've seen him raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils. No telling what all they saw. And then the greatest thing in church world, not only did they get to go to a good church meeting, but he fed them fried chicken. Amen? Popeye's chicken's coming. It's coming to town. All right. So, I mean, they're ecstatic. And so he deals with them, and then he goes up into the mountain and prays, and he tells the apostles, you guys go over to the other side. While he's up there praying, they get in the boat, and a storm comes up, a bad storm. Y'all remember any of this? Remember any of this from Sunday school or anything like that? You better, I'm going to give you a test at the end. No. So they're in the boat, and a big storm comes up, and they are in jeopardy. They're in jeopardy, and they're rowing, and they can't get anywhere. And so Jesus Matthew tells you about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, late in the evening time, all of a sudden Jesus comes walking on the water. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell you about feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Only Matthew, Mark, and John tell you about him walking on the water. And Matthew, Mark, and John all have a little bit of their own spin on it. Matthew tells you he comes walking on the water, and Peter opens up his big mouth. Right? Because they thought it might be a ghost. Because, I mean, how many of you, be honest, full disclosure, how many of y'all have ever seen anybody walking on the water? I don't want to hurt Teresa's feelings and break her heart, but honey, I cannot walk on the water. So he's coming walking on the water, and they're shouting, "It's a ghost!" And then they determine it's Jesus, and Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, come." That's what Peter asked him. He said, "Lord, if it's you, come." Well, what's he going to say to him? "That's not me." What's he going to say? "It's not me." No, he said, "It is me." And you know that rascal, Jesus says, "Come." And you know that rascal, Linda, a flesh and blood person born of a woman, actually gets out on the water and for a period of time actually walks on the water. And then guess what happens to him? He starts thinking about what he gets back into the natural. See? Man, I hate to relate this to the game of golf, but I will. You know when I play my best golf? When I'm outside of my mind and I just play that. I just let it flow. See, that's all Peter was doing. He just was walking on the water because Jesus said to come, and he's walking on the water, and then all of a sudden it hits his mind. Man, I'm walking on the water. I can't walk on the water. I'm not Aquaman. And he begins to sink. And Jesus says, "Well, you old..." No. You know what Jesus said to him, though? Think about this for a minute. And this is all in the Bible. And if you wanted to do something, you could actually check me on all this. You know what Jesus said to him? He starts sinking because he realizes what he's doing. And the Bible says that he begins to sink. And Jesus lifts him up, grabs him. See how Jesus is on the water and has enough strength to hold on to Peter. And you know what he said to him? You know what I'd have said to him? "Man, you walked on the water for a little bit. They're going to write a book about you. They're going to put you on TV. You know what Jesus said to him? "Oh, you have little faith." See, one of the reasons why people get disillusioned with Christianity, can I be completely honest with you on this wonderful Sunday morning? One of the reasons why people really get disillusioned with real, genuine Christianity is because Jesus will not tell you what you want to hear. He will tell you how it is. And he doesn't do it in a mean, nasty way. He's not doing it because he wants to be superior to you. He is superior to you. He don't have to worry about being superior. He is superior. He does it because it's the truth that'll set you free. And we've had multitudes of people that got disheartened, and what they really got disheartened by was Jesus, and because they didn't want to admit that, they said they got disheartened by what I said. But what they really got disheartened about was what Jesus said. And listen, I've come so far. I'm telling you right now, if you put me in Peter's position, I'm not. First of all, I'd have let Jesus scold me, and then I'd have gotten in the boat and bragged to those other 11. I said, "Y'all, he got on me, but you, none of y'all got out. I might not have won the tournament, but I played in it." Are you with me? And he told him, he said, "Oh, you of little faith." I'm telling you, we haven't touched the surface of what we could do if we would have the audacity to believe the word of the living God. See, Jesus told him to come, and that settled it. He could have kept on walking, but he looked at the natural circumstances. Are you with me? Everybody cool? So Matthew tells you that. And then John tells you something that the rest of them don't tell you. So he walks on the water. He gets in the boat. Mark and Matthew tell you that when he gets in the boat, they worship him. You know, they're all excited because they're not going to drown. I mean, you know, that's a pretty good thing, John. Is that pretty good? And so the Bible says they worship him. And you know what John tells you? That when he got in the boat. Now, remember, they've been rowing. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. The wind's against them. The waves are contrary to them. They can't get hardly anywhere. The Bible says that he gets in the boat. And the moment he gets into the boat, immediately it goes to the other side. I've said it for years. I wish the Holy Spirit would come on somebody like Steven Spielberg and actually make a legitimate movie about the life of Jesus Christ. He would put the Avengers to shame. I wish your kids were here. Cobra Kai who? They're not even superheroes, are they? They're just a bunch of old washed up actors. Everybody likes Jordan. I'll tell on you. He likes that show. All right. John literally records that he gets in the boat, and when he gets in the boat goes immediately to the other side. See, God is supernatural. He's walked on the water to get to the boat, and he don't want to waste the rest of his day rowing, so he just gets him over to the other side. Everybody with me? I caught you up so far in John chapter 6. Now, some fascinating things go on. Okay, I want to fill in the blanks here. Remember, I told you about Jesus tells it like it is. Did I tell you that? Remember that? And what you need to do is don't run away from it, embrace it. And don't get condemned by it. And stay honest. I try to stay honest with him, you know. I mean, if it's something I'm struggling with. But anyway, they get to the other side, and the next morning, listen to me now, watch this now. This is very interesting because there's a dynamic that goes on in John chapter 6. The next morning, the people that he had fed on the other side of the lake realizes that he's not there anymore. Okay? Y'all tracking with me? They realize he's not there anymore, and so they deduce that he'd gone over to the other side. And they come over to the other side. So they find him on the other side. Let's just do this. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Because it's kind of perplexing to them because they knew he was on the other side and he didn't get over there till later that night. But they said, Rabbi, why did you come here? Now watch this, verse 26. Remember what I told you about Jesus? What did I tell you about him? He tells you the truth. He tells you the way it is. But he loves us. He speaks the truth in love. Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. In other words, they wanted to know what's up for breakfast. We had a pretty good supper, but hey, are we going to have the Denny's Grand Slam? Right? But I mean, isn't that part of how we are? Don't we want our needs met? Isn't that what we're really looking for? Isn't that what everybody looks for, is some element of security financially and emotionally and physically? And he says, you guys aren't over here because you really are seeking me. You're seeking what I can give you. Now, you know what? If you come to Jesus because you need something from him, come on. I don't want to stop that. Come on. But stay with him long enough for him to let you know what else you might be lacking. And then he'll tell you that he gave it all to you. Does that make sense? Verse 27. Listen to this. Verse 27. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures, to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Now, you ready for something wonderful? Do you know why it was worth getting up this morning and coming to this Bible class? Because you're going to read two verses that will change your whole life if you listen to them and believe them. Verse 28. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Let's ask that question. Come on, let's do it. Let's let the radio and internet know the question here. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" What a question. Reminds me of the jailer in Acts chapter 16. When he had Paul and Silas arrested, or they were arrested, and they put him under his care. And then the Holy Spirit unlocked the chains and unlocked the doors, and he thought they were going to escape, and he was going to kill himself. And Paul said, "Don't do anything like that. I'm a man of God. I'm not going to walk out of here. I'm not going to do that to you." And that jailer was moved by that, was moved by the ability of a man to be that committed to something, that he wouldn't take advantage of an opportunity to get out of jail. And you know what they were in jail for? For preaching the gospel. And they'd been beaten with rods. And I don't know if you know what being beaten with rods means, but it means that they lift you up off the ground so that your feet aren't on the ground, and then they take something and beat your calves until they're jelly. And people talk about Paul was sick. Paul wasn't sick. You know, it was sickness and disease, but I'm sure there were days that his body hurt. And you know what they did in that jail cell? Complained. No. Told God they were switching denominations? No. You know what they did? They sung songs and praises to God. At midnight, praise God. And anyway, that jailer realizes that Paul's not going to leave. Silas isn't going to leave. And he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Same question here. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They say to him, "What shall we do?" See, everybody wants to do something. See, it's human nature. Everybody wants to do something. Everybody wants to be able to say they did something. And this is, if you'd come to Wednesday night Bible class, you'd find out this is the offense of the cross. This is what hangs people up. This is why they're offended by Jesus. There is nothing you can do except one thing. There's only one thing you can do. "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Verse 29, this is the one thing right here. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent." That's the offense of the cross. See, natural man can't understand it. Natural people can't comprehend it, because the rest of our world, the rest of our society, everything else we do is based on how we perform. Are you with me? If you want to get a promotion on your job, you want to do a good job to get promoted. If you want your wife to like you, you got to treat your wife good, right? Are you listening to me? Everything else we do. If you go to school, of course, in our school system now, they're going to give everybody A's, I guess, or C's or whatever. God deliver us from that deal. In life, ever how good you do is determines what you receive, but that's not the way it works with God. It's what you believe Jesus did for you, because there's nothing you can do that make you good enough to receive what God wants to give you. Praise Jesus. That's the offense of the cross. Listen to me very carefully. That's the offense of the cross, because when your heart really understands that, then you have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That Christ died for the ungodly. That there's no one righteous, no, not one. That all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that's provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. I just took everybody that's listening down the Roman road, and all my Southern Baptists are beating the drum of approval, because that's how it is. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent." Say that with me, everybody. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent." Now, what's the next verse, Jordan? That way I'll stay on track, because I want to fill this in. I'm gonna say this verse after I tell you the story. So of course this goes back. They can't comprehend it. The major multitude can't comprehend it because all they've been brought up under is the law and doing the right thing and keeping the Sabbath and keeping the commandments and keeping the festivals and keeping the Passover and keeping everything that you got to keep. And so they can't comprehend it. And so what they kept trying to get Jesus to do was to identify himself as somebody that was like Moses. They wanted to actually compare him to Moses. And so they start talking about the fact, again, remember they're looking for breakfast. They already had their meal the night before. And they start talking about the fact that Moses gave us manna from heaven. That's what they ask him. That's what they tell him. Again, they're playing the Moses card because that's all they got. You know, we'll hang on to our heroes as long as we can. Tom Brady's got one more year with Tampa Bay. Are you listening to me? And so they said, Moses gave us the manna from heaven. What are you going to do for us? And he said, now come on. Moses didn't give you that bread. That bread didn't come from Moses. That bread came from God. They got it every morning. Remember, they'd have to gather it up in the morning and eat it, and it'd be there every day to eat. Jesus makes this amazing statement. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Say that with me. I am the bread of life. It's over with. It's over. There's no more law. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth have come by me. Sure, you got manna in the wilderness to keep you alive physically, but I've come down from heaven to get you alive spiritually. See, that's what he kept saying to them, and that's why so many people have misquoted that one verse in John 11 where it says, he who believes in me will never die. Well, of course, he couldn't be talking about physically because everybody I know dies. Am I correct in that, Jerry? Right? Have you noticed that? So when he said, he who believes in me will never die, what he meant was, he who believes in me will never die spiritually, because spirits are for eternity. God is eternal, we are eternal, and the bread of life is the bread everybody needs in order to live forever in the presence of Almighty God. Woo! Chapter 6 is loaded. It's loaded. You can spend a lot of quality time just reading it. And I was sharing with my Wednesday class that if you get into a particular portion of Scripture and God's talking to you and dealing with you and ministering to you, don't worry about trying to read more. Stay focused on what you're learning. I used for an illustration, when I get up in the morning, generally, I didn't this morning because we were up late, but generally when I get up in the morning, I go to the Bible on YouVersion. On my phone, I have the app YouVersion. And we're going through the book of Acts on Facebook. And normally I'll read the book of Acts and then pick the verse out I want to put on Facebook. But then YouVersion always has a verse of the day. Okay? James, kind of like play of the day in SportsCenter. YouVersion has verse of the day. And so what I've been doing is just taking that verse, and whatever that verse is, I'll just read the whole chapter. And so I shared this with everybody on Wednesday because I was, you know, sometimes I can be a little hard on y'all, right? And I'm trying to do way better. Would you give me that? And anyway, last week, one of the chapters was James chapter 1, and one of the chapters was Colossians chapter 3. I don't know if you've done any quality time looking at those chapters, but they are loaded with information, loaded with truth, loaded with instruction. But I did a test on myself just because, you know, I realize how we all struggle to retain Scripture. We struggle to hold on to it. And of course, in my opinion, the main reason is because there's so many things that have our attention. And there's so many things that have my attention that I don't mind those having my attention, but we have such struggle retaining Scripture. And I'm a Bible teacher, and I've read the Bible for many, many years. But I did this as a test. And so I stopped and thought about the fact that I had read James chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 3, and sometimes I'll get up and feed the dogs and read the Bible and then get back into bed just for a short period of time, okay? And I laid back on the pillow, and I got to thinking about it, and I couldn't recall, Jerry, don't be mad at me. I couldn't recall one thing I read. And I said, you know, when I see Beverly Brown, I'm going to apologize to her. Beverly, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for getting mad at you because you couldn't, y'all didn't tell me the sermon title from last week. But what was it, just in case? I couldn't remember nothing I read. And I read it, and the fascinating thing about it was, while I was reading it, Maria, I was getting something out of it. It wasn't like I was just reading it to go through the motion. I was literally getting a lot of stuff out of James chapter 1. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For y'all are thinking, well, you must have retained it. But I've had that in me before. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But actually, when I started thinking about what I'd read, I didn't remember any of it. And then I started thinking about Colossians, and I thought, well, I don't remember any of that either. And so the Lord used that for me for a teaching purpose, is to say, you know, don't get so concerned about how much you read. Get more concerned about if you're comprehending what you read. Let me tell you what the number one need in the body of Christ is. Coco B. Rupsaman from Prescott Valley, who should ought to be in Sierra Vista. It's going to be on the radio. He'll hear it. Sell that house and get on back down here. Okay. You know what the number one need is in the body of Christ? It's not for more power. It's not for more money. It's for comprehension. Pray for comprehension. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now that's going to go right past us. Most people are going to read that and say, oh, that's beautiful words. I believe Jesus said them, but I not only believe that Jesus said them, I believe that Jesus meant them. I believe he meant it. Does that make sense? Oh, Ephesians, we're in it. We're in it on Wednesday. That's what he prayed in Ephesians chapter 3, that you would comprehend. Not just read it, but comprehend it. Does that make sense? So anyway, listen to me. Listen to me. What's the next verse, Jordan? What's the next verse? Nobody in the history of the world could say what's been said here except Jesus Christ. Listen to this. I am the living bread. Listen to this. Where'd you come from? Kansas, South Dakota, Georgia. No, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. That's amazing. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. We haven't touched it. I'm telling you right now, we haven't touched it. And I'm telling you right now, listen to me very carefully. I am so appreciative of you guys showing up and being here with me so we can teach you in person and we can put this on the radio and the internet. I mean that with all my heart. I'm telling you, if we can just get a slight portion of that from our membrane into our heart, we would revolutionize our life. It'd revolutionize our life because there would be no reason to ever worry. There would be no reason to ever fear, because Jesus is the bread of life. See, the Republican Party isn't the bread of life. Jesus is. We know the Democratic Party isn't the bread of life. Jesus is. We know our government isn't the bread of life. Jesus is. Listen, we know our sports heroes aren't the bread of life. Jesus is. See, that's what I'm trying to say to you. And again, I'm not just saying it to you, I'm saying it to me. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit just told me to do this. He just told me to do this. See, what he's saying to me and what he's saying to all of us is, just take that verse right there. And just let that verse right there be the verse that you allow into your inner person, into the inner part of your being. Let that verse get inside of you. And then I'll give you some more. I'll show you some more. But don't worry about, oh, I read John 6:51. I better go over to chapter 7. Don't get over to chapter 7 till you get into chapter 6. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now, you know what ends up happening in this chapter? You know what ends up happening? They get mad about it and get offended. And they say, this is hard to understand. I can't understand it. You know, I mean, here's people that's telling Jesus what he just said is hard to understand. And these are the same people that are expected to memorize Leviticus. I take this any day of the week. Are you listening to me? These are people that were supposed to, on Sunday morning, you weren't supposed to do anything physical. If you did anything physical, it was a sin. And these people are saying, I can't deal with this. And did you know that he lost a big group of his crowd this day and they turned back? What is the next verse, Jordan? Because I want to, is there another verse at all? From that time, many, you know, isn't that fascinating that that turns out to be John 6:66? The devil got mad about it. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Full disclosure, is it time to be full disclosure Sunday? I've had that same thought. Christianity's tough. In fact, it's impossible if you think Christianity is about crossing every T and dotting every I. You won't make it. That's one of the things that concerns me about pumping into people, especially young people, all the do's and the don'ts instead of pumping into them the grace of God. Because if you recognize the grace of God, it won't free you to sin, it'll free you from sin. And we got a lot of people that are shipwrecked and don't serve God anymore because the devil got them involved in something and they thought they'd been set free from it and they got back into it and they thought, well, there wasn't anything to it. Yeah, there was something to it. And God's mercy endures forever. Come on back. There's nowhere to go. Remember, I called Peter a big mouth, didn't I? Didn't I? I'll tell you something else about him. He got the greatest revelation anybody can get. He got the revelation that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember that in Matthew? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Y'all see that? Everybody there? So it says, verse 66 says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Verse 67, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? I don't want him to ask me that. I might tell him, yeah. No. Do you also want to go away? Verse 68, but Simon Peter answered him, Lord, listen to this. Can we all say this together? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Nobody else does. Nobody else does. Moses didn't. The prophets didn't. The Pharisees didn't. Are you listening to me? Religious leaders don't. You have the words of everlasting life. Verse 69. Here it is. And then let's go ahead and stand up. Verse 69. Also, oh, are you listening by radio or internet this morning with us? Radio, internet, and I am sorry to leave out my Facebook friends. Are you listening? Also, We have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, Coco, don't you love that? Don't you see that? The Holy Spirit got all over you on that, didn't he? Huh? Say that with me, everybody. Come on. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Say what you want to about Peter, but he's got some magnificent words in the Holy Scriptures. And you know why? He left everything to follow Jesus. Amen. Now listen, if you're listening by radio or internet, I trust that the Holy Spirit's been able to use what I've said to get your heart motivated to want to receive Jesus. I trust that I've been motivated and led by the Holy Spirit so that you want to come to believe and know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the bread of life. He's the work of God that God wants us to do, and that's to believe in His Son whom He sent. That's what He asked us to do. Now, it can be offensive to some of us if we think that we're going to heaven because of our good works or because we're better than other people, but you need to get over that. That kind of thinking will send you to hell. Jesus came into the world to save the ungodly. Jesus came to save all of us because all of us are under the sway of the wicked one. But thank God, through faith in Jesus, we get delivered from His kingdom and we get transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. If you're ready to receive this morning, say this with me. Say it with me. Say it by radio or Facebook or internet. Say this with me. Say, Dear God, this morning I have come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want to receive Him today. I want to do the only work that I can do to have eternal life. And that's to believe in Jesus. I believe in Him. I confess Jesus as Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I pray that some of you prayed that with us. And if you prayed that prayer, you can contact us on our webpage at lifeinchristchurch.net. And just, there's a place where you can email me and just say you prayed that prayer. Say you're listening to the program or say something. Amen. But if you never say anything, we know that the word's going out and God's word doesn't return to Him void. Lord, we give you all the glory and praise. Thank you so much that the word of God's been given to us. Thank you that you had four men write down the greatest story ever told so we could study it and read it and learn from it. And we'll give you all the glory and praise in the holy name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll see you.